You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Drew is very nervous, I can tell. He came in during the break. He's nervous.
Joe Burrow gets hurt. I didn't need to
hear that. He's nervous. He's nervous already. If the Bengals don't make the playoffs, he's got
to
wear the Hooters outfit.
If they lose to Cleveland,
if they make the playoffs, Cody and I have to wear the Hooters outfit. It's a lose for a lot of people involved, I think.
Me. If they lose, anybody who has to see it.
If they lose to the Cleveland Browns, I will not be here on whatever day in September that is. On the Monday,
you're going to avoid the show.
I will not be there.
I kind of respect it.
Okay. So
Monday the 12th.
Yeah, coming up in 17 minutes, we will get to the trash of the day. But let's keep talking a little bit about the Royals. What's that?
I was thinking it was like a week after. Chiefs don't play on the Sunday before that. They play the Friday before.
Oh, okay.
Monday, whatever, the 8th or 9th or whatever it is. It'll be fun. We'll talk more Royals, like you said, here in just a minute. Or are we talking Royals now?
We can do it in just a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was just talking more about Drew's.
Yeah, whatever you know what? Whatever you want, man.
I don't
want
to wear that outfit either for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, and I do. Yeah, I really do. Yeah, what? Of course.
You're just dying to?
Of course nobody wants to wear it. I don't think it will fit.
I was thinking about the Royals.
Like, you won't even be able to get it over your head, but anyway.
Kind of a bigger picture, and as you said with the Joe Burrow injuries, this is a moment of reflection I believe that we should have for the Royals. And I'm not saying that if they still miss the playoffs, you shouldn't be annoyed. Honestly, based on the way they're playing now, maybe you should be even more annoyed that they let some of these games early in the season slip away. But I'm not going to lose sight on the fact, and I would ask JJ Piccolo the same thing next Tuesday, they have not overcome nothing in order to still be in the playoff hunt August 20th. Do I need to go through the injuries? They missed Lugo for a stretch of time. They haven't had Cole Reagans two different times and haven't had him for forever. They, from the beginning of the season to July 1st, were the baseball's worst offense, if you want to be honest. One of the worst power-hitting teams, one of the worst run-scoring teams. Second worst or worse in all of those categories up until July 1st. They have had to cut multiple players, and some of those are their own doing, like the base-running issues or some of these others. But considering some of the things that went wrong for them they couldn't control, they have overcome a lot to still be in a playoff hunt, which comes back to like the Q part of it for me, or the JJ's willingness to make some of the trades part of it for me. I think they deserve some credit for overcoming a lot of adversity this season. We gave the Chiefs credit for that last year. We seem to be missing that on the Royals a little bit.
Well, a couple things. One, yes, you have problems with the team. Some of them are self-created, obviously, with decisions. So how do you fix it? And I think they have been very smart with making moves that don't jeopardize the future while also still trying to accomplish their goals this year. That's where I give them credit, that mistakes were made clearly with how they evaluated the outfield position heading into opening day. And as you said, one of them is not
that
even
was
on
their own doing.
Your right fielder from opening day is not even on a a club anywhere. Your left fielder is in AAA. We can go through every single thing. Mistakes were made, but how do you fix those? How do you solve them? And they have done their best in season to patch that up, to put themselves in a position. I do think they get credit for that. As far as why it's not viewed the same way as when the Chiefs,
Chris Brubich, I didn't mention.
Why is it not viewed the same way as when the Chiefs did it? Because it is still August 20th, and they even today are not occupying even a playoff spot. That's why. I think the really full blown will be if they make the playoffs, then it's like, wow, that's where it becomes very, very impressive. I think the fact that we're having a conversation that they're in it, sure, they are playing much better offensively. The Burgers trade looks pretty good right now. Obviously, Yastrzemski, where they gave up an asset, he's been a huge factor for them, even though he's not
apparently only hits leadoff home runs.
I'm just saying they haven't accomplished it yet, so I don't want to throw the victory parade on August 20th when they're still two and a half out of a playoff.
Not saying like the victory parade. It speaks to me in a larger sense of, do you think a franchise is heading in a good direction, is a good franchise, yeah, is stable? Stable franchises overcome a lot of problems. They lost this year their number one starter for 75% of the year by the time this thing's done in Cole Reagans.
Yeah.
Their number two starter for 50% of the year, and he's never coming back. They lost Seth Lugo for multiple weeks, their number three starter. So they had to do it with Waka, their three or four. Noah Cameron, a complete unknown rookie. Multiple trades. And yes, the left and right fielders were their own doing. Now, I'll say part of it is their own doing in the sense that they didn't have the right people in place, but also players have to perform, and those two guys just stunk.
Sure, but you're Hunter Renfro. And those players have been criticized plenty. I'm just saying, like, you still went into opening day thinking those were two viable outfielders for you, and if they don't perform, it ultimately does fall back on the organization too. Right?
It's both, but it is the players too, and at least they didn't just ignore
they did, though. The player got cut, and the other one's in AAA and probably doesn't have much of a future with the organization.
No. I mean, I don't know he got up for a weekend and then had to get sent back down, unfortunately, because they needed the roster.
I get what you're saying. They have certainly, the starting pitching is why they're still where they're at, and they have been able to, and their biggest strength as an organization right now, they can evaluate pitching. They clearly can develop even tweaks at the big league.
Next man up works.
And it's been great. That's their best thing they've done since J.J. Piccolo took over, honestly, is evaluating big league pitching, and also looks like, you know, to a certain extent, going out and being able to convince the player to work with Brian Sweeney and others to, hey, we think there's just one little tweak we can do, and we think you can get way more out of this pitch or way more out of how you approach this hitter. And it's worked for a lot of the pitchers they've acquired.
As a follow-up to that, I guess, is now that the team is competing for a wild card spot, and we're not like saying they're six games back and they're going to have to do a lot to even have a chance to compete, they're legitimately in a wild card race. They're 2.5 games back on August 20th. That's legitimately in a wild card race. Where are the, if you hated Q, I want to know where you are. If you wanted Zumwalt fired, I want to know where, I'm just kind of curious. Like, I want to gauge, and there were people who were very critical of J.J. Piccolo and the job he did in the offseason of the outfielder stuff. Where are you on the, anybody, not just you, where are you on your level of hatred for
hatred,
or criticism?
I don't hate any of them, but
criticism for those.
It's not that serious.
And I had my kid say he hated school today. He said, I hate going to school. And I was like, it's day two. We're screwed.
I would just say once again, I get why we're having the conversation today. I'm just saying once again, they haven't completed the task. So, you know, acting like things are all solved. I mean, they lose five in a row. We're back in the same spot. So I don't want to act like all of a sudden everything is kumbaya and they're going to make the playoffs.
No, I'm not saying that. That's what I'm asking, what level you're at.
I still think in the offseason there is a conversation that has to be had about your hitting staff still. I don't care how the season finishes. It has to be had still, in my opinion. The Q stuff I always thought was a bit crazy. People are critical of managers all the time. The idea that every single loss was his fault and that the team was failing because of him and all that, that's just typical fandom towards a manager. Matt Quatrero was never getting fired this season, no matter how bad it went, nor should he.
That never made any sense to
if
even
they miss the
be
playoff,
a conversation.
If they miss
opinion.
The playoff, the same thing, though, applies. He will be on the hot seat next season, in my opinion. If they miss the playoffs this year, then next year, it has to be a playoff appearance. It has to. So that to me hasn't changed. And as far as J.J. Piccolo, as I mentioned, I think they misevaluated clearly the outfield position. To me, they have made some very smart and shrewd moves to fix those, and they have done it in a way that doesn't jeopardize the future. So you know, the if we're assigning grades at this point, like there's no way it's an A for your GM because of the mistakes that happened early, but it's also not a D or an F either. You know, it's probably like a C plus or a B minus to me the whole season. The trade deadline was an A, right? That's what's holding up. The trade deadline an A in what they were able to do. I still think
Q is a very good manager for what his job is and that people lost sight of it. The idea that he can't manage a bullpen, he technically runs the seventh best bullpen in the league. So either you think they have the most talented bullpen in baseball and he is underutilizing them, or they have a good bullpen and he's doing it right, or they have a bad bullpen and he's overexceeding. There's no way to spin it that he's blowing it unless you think the Royals have the most talented set of bullpen arms in all of baseball and he's mismanaging what is the best bullpen in baseball and he's not doing it right.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's perfect and hasn't made mistakes. There was a time in the season, like as in 3 weeks ago or a month ago, where everybody was calling for his head. I thought that was silly at the time and it's obviously very silly now. But in terms of the actual conversation, as far as if you think different people need to be in place, the only one that I think is worthy of that conversation in the offseason still would be the hitting coach. Someone says, would you still want to change the hitting coach if after the season, if they win or lose playoffs? But if they make the playoffs, I still think a conversation needs to happen because something was wrong. Why was it just the players were just in a rut for 4 months or 3 months? Or is there also something else going on? I mean, there's other players, as we know, have gone on to other organizations and had success. There's a lot of things that have gone on. The hitting coach, even when they made the playoffs last year, they were an average offense. It's not like last year they were
having the conversation.
They weren't a fifth best offense last year and then were the worst this year. Now they're third worst, I think, in baseball overall, bigger picture. So, no, I don't think if they finish the season while it's been better in the second half, I think you still have to evaluate your hitting staff.
I don't think it's crazy in any offseason to take a look at that. There'd be, if they make the, let's just say in the hypothetical, they make the playoffs and you're saying, what do you evaluate outside of that? You should be thrilled, continuously thrilled with the job JJ Piccolo is doing, in my opinion. Because he would get credit for the, he'd get more credit for the, he did want to fix the outfield, but he couldn't. But he didn't just ignore it and just hope things got better magically in the offseason. And the pitching part would make me feel so good.
They better make sure they, and
JJ's credit for the people he's finding for Brian Sweeney.
Brian Sweeney, they better make sure they add a couple numbers to that paycheck of his starting next season. That's all I got to say.
Add a number.
The numbers need to be higher. Okay. Yeah. Not a comma, but they got to be higher because he is going to get poached otherwise.
Yes. And I'll say right now, just start really working on whoever his underling is. Make sure that that guy is doing it the identical way Brian Sweeney is doing it. So if you got to promote from within, somebody who's been watching that man work this entire time is equipped to do so. No, I'm not saying it's all problem solved and fixed and no issues and all this other stuff. I'm just bringing up the idea that, yeah, let's start taking a look. And they deserve a little bit of credit for staying in this thing for what I think they're overcoming. Losing Chris Bubich and Cole Reagans in an individual season, that's the kind of stuff, Gold, I used to give credit for. I'd watch the Cleveland Guardians of the world lose Shane Bieber, and I'm like, how the hell are you a playoff team? You lost Shane Bieber for the whole damn year. How are you even in the mix? You lost your number one starter for the whole year, Yankees. How are you still competitive? Dodgers, Astros, teams that I've watched win a lot have lost major players for them and not lost a playoff spot. The Royals have lost their number one and number two starter for what will end up being the equivalent of 50% of their combined seasons and still haven't even gotten Cole Reagans back and they're staying in it. That deserves a little bit of credit.
We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 5 minutes or so, but there's a story. It's not a done deal yet, but there's a story from Kendall Baker, who covers more of the business side and broadcast side of sports and in particular baseball in this instance. And he tweeted out a couple interesting details about baseball moving forward. He writes over at Yahoo Sports. He used to be over at Axios and ESPN. And he said, MLB rights deals are close to being done, according to a source. What I'm hearing, Apple is fully out. Friday Night Baseball, RIP. So right now, Friday Night Baseball is on Apple. Now, maybe somebody else would pick up Friday Night Baseball, but Apple, according to this, is they're going to be done when their deal's done. Apple doesn't
kinda
like
weird.
It.
I like Friday Night
I've
Baseball.
Liked the graphics and the crew and the presentation. NBC Peacock will be in for Friday and Sunday and wild card. So Friday Night Baseball would move to NBC and Peacock. The wild card game would not be on Apple. It would be on Peacock. Also, the biggest, MLB TV if this happens, would be sold to ESPN for a ton of money. And so your MLB TV app, again, not for Royals games. This is if you're trying to watch other games out of market and stuff like that. That would be sold to ESPN. What that means for the platform, does it change it? Has become an ESPN Plus product? I don't know. That's the one that I'm most concerned about because I love the MLB TV product. I also get it through my cell phone subscription.
So you get it for free?
So I get it for, well, air quotes, free. I'm paying for it in some form or fashion, but yes. And then, how about this? The Home Run Derby under this deal would move to Netflix. Who cares? Fine with me. I don't care.
Is ESPN just loading up?
I keep thinking about ditching Netflix because it's just TV shows.
Worried that it's going to... Wait, would the Home Run Derby convince you to keep it?
I mean, I feel like it's something I watch every year. Hmm. It wouldn't convince me to keep it if I was considering ditch it. It's just, do I want to get on an app and stream it in that capacity? You know what it is? It's like some things still feel like, and I know this is like an old mentality. Some things feel like they should... There's a couple of sporting events that feel like they should be on either network or cable television, not straight streaming service. NFL playoff games, MLB playoff games, the Home Run Derby. Conceptually, it's hard for me, Gold, to be like, Netflix? Should that be a Netflix-only product?
NFL games are on it now.
I know.
I'm sure one day...
NFL-only playoff games are on, like, Peacock. Yeah. But I can still get if the Chiefs are on. I can still get that one on local.
If you're going to put the Derby on, just put the whole All-Star Weekend on Netflix. It just makes...
Wow. The All-Star game,
it's
going to
be on Big
enough.
Fox. Yeah. It's going to be on Big Fox,
yeah, that's
course,
a different deal.
Do we know... So ESPN doesn't want to have anything to do with talking about baseball, but then they want to have all the games.
Yeah, it doesn't. There is a part of it that doesn't.
Well, they don't
make
have to provide
sense.
Any of the announcers or anything. They'll just do the same thing the MLB TV app is. That, you know,
borrow,
I mean, like,
people. Same way YouTube TV is just going to take.
Well, they don't
17
have to, they'll,
people.
They don't have to borrow anybody. They just take the team feeds. Remember, that's what. Yeah. Remember, MLB TV is just the, like, last night. I was randomly watching the Reds were playing the Angels or something. I was listening to the Reds announcers. I actually like the Reds broadcast team, but I was watching that game randomly.
I'm going to be totally honest. Is what, like, if you told me I had access. Because the NHL does it with ESPN Plus currently. If the NBA won't do it, or let's say eventually they do have that, if you were to tell me it's all in one place and I paid $30 a month for it, I'm more down to do that. So I pay for NBA League Pass over the course of a year. If I have access to that and then also MLB TV or the NHL games all in one place for $30 a month, I mean,
yeah, I don't know what the pricing stuff is going to be.
I'll take that. But
ESPN's probably interested in MLB TV because they're doing the direct to consumer product now, right? Where if you don't have, it's not just ESPN Plus. It's going to be their new
starting tomorrow. Is the
yeah
is the
where
thing.
It's going to be for people that don't have any streaming service, don't have any cable or satellite. You just want everything under the ESPN umbrella.
It's no different than me than like subscribing to FanDuel or on Amazon or MLB TV.
It's just
so
in the
like,
same place.
So I don't really have some big gripe with it because that was another reason I knew the Royals were back last night for the first time since like April or May. I sent out a like, Royals won 5 games in a row, woo-woo. You know, let's do the poppers, it'll be fun. And some guy said, wish I could watch them, I live in Kansas City. And my response was, you can watch them, sir. They're available on many. He's like, well, I don't want to pay for it. And you're like, well, I got bad news. That's just the game.
That's every team in every league in every city, it seems like.
You know, like there's like a couple of things that irrationally bother you. On my list of irrationally bother me, even though they shouldn't, are... The people are like, wish I could watch the team. And I'm like, you can. You've made a choice not to, but they are available to watch in Kansas City every night. You have to pay for it, but it is available, and it bothers me. The other one, and I know that I am absolutely, and I'm going to get crushed on the text side of this. I hate your post that it is person's jersey number days away until the game. Throw them into a pit
of
fire.
Oh, like what the social media teams do.
Hate it.
So you don't
they
like
started
that
50
so
games out
when they
you're
do...
Tim Grunhard's away. Tim Grunhard number away until the hate it.
So you
on Thursday when
that,
they post
why does that
jersey?
I don't know. I'm not saying it should.
So Drew's right. When they post the 15, it's just Patrick Mahomes.
On Thursday.
Hate it.
What is it about it? Why don't you like
it? I think part of it is the repetitive nature of it because they start it so many days out. I can't. It's every
it's
team. It's every
past,
social media
you
thing.
Just scroll past it.
I said it's irrational. I didn't say that there's a good reason for it to bother me. There's not. But I hate it, and I think it's lazy social media, and I don't think anybody should do it. And I don't like it.
Tomorrow, you guys are going to be in Vegas, and I'm going to say at one point, hey, Cody, it's Patrick Mahomes' days away from the NFL season.
I hate it even worse when people say it out loud.
It is worse when it's said out loud than on the graphic. The graphic you can just avoid.
Like, if you look at me dead in the eye, and you're like, we're only Chris Katz's number away until opening day of Royals Baseball. I'm like, I hate you so much.
It's worse if you say it. The graphic is fine.
Well,
are you excited today? Today's National Radio Day. Do you love that?
It's fine. I like working in radio. It pays my bills.
Do you?
I don't think I've ever celebrated it. How are you celebrating?
How are you celebrating?
By flying to Vegas. I'll get a cocktail tonight for National Radio Day.
I'm looking forward to that.
Someone also said,
I hate it. I don't know why I hate it.
I don't know if you saw that, Cody. Somebody on the text line earlier when you mentioned your son doesn't like going to school. Someone said they would hate school too if my dad was in Vegas every other weekend.
I am. Yeah, it's tough. I am hoping this happened today. I am hoping for his case. That this is just we've had all summer. Summer's a blast. We've been enjoying it. And we're back at the first week of school and doing this every day sounds intense.
Oh, yeah.
He was not interested in going to school today.
That's because his girlfriend's not there. They're not in the same class.
Borrowing and stealing.
He
did mention her yesterday, I will say. So he said, he came back from home and I was like, hey, you know, normally you'll tell me a couple things. And then maybe like an hour after he'd been home, he said, you know, the girl's name, I don't want to mention the name, and another friend of his, he said, they're both back at school. And I said, well, that's okay. The one that, remember, like, mm-hmm. later in the year where they were having, like, mm-hmm. he didn't, like, and I said, well, why is that a problem? He's like, he was already worried because what happened last year, which I did not get a full explanation of last year, he said part of what happened between him and this girl and him and a good friend of his was.
And for the audience, once again, your son is how old?
He just turned 7.
Okay, there we go.
He was 6 when this all took place. Is that last year they ran into a problem because the girl, who for a while he was calling his girlfriend, did not want him to be friends with the other guy anymore. And the guy did not, the kid, the 6-year-old, didn't want him to be friends with her anymore. They both wanted exclusivity in his friendship or being a girlfriend. He was already running into what I would call 22-year-old person problems. Hmm. And so he saw them both and he's like, what's going to happen here if they both want me to just be friends with them again? I'm like, I wouldn't worry about it. They probably don't remember it. I'm shocked you do.
You'll be okay. Yeah. You'll be okay.
So.
Okay.
It'll all be all right.
Well, I hope he has a better day at school today.
I won't date you if you're friends with him still. Okay.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one's a pretty amazing story. This isn't like the typical, somebody went to a store.
Got arrested for wrestling an alligator in a bank.
This one is just non-sports, but it's actually really, really cool. This happened in Vancouver, up in British Columbia. And a Canadian man lost his sight more than 2 decades ago, and he can now see again thanks to this groundbreaking surgery. They used his own tooth to restore his vision. Yeah, you heard that right. His tooth is why he can now see for the first time in 20-plus years. He's one of 3 individuals who underwent an innovative procedure known as tooth-in-eye surgery, marking the first time it's been conducted in Canada. And so this patient went blind when he was just 13 years old. He said he's undergone over 50 eye procedures trying to get his vision back. And this time it worked. Teeth are used, basically, they remove a tooth from the patient. They insert a plastic lens inside the tooth.
And then they put the tooth in my eye?
They stitch the assembly into the eye socket. This dude literally has a tooth in his eye socket with a lens, and he can see. The tooth, they use that because the tooth is one of the hardest substances a human produces, making them an ideal casing to, I guess, bridge the lens.
Who's the first? The question I have is, who's the first person who thought, what if I just stuck your tooth in your eye and you could see again?
It was like, actually developed.
Who thought of this plan?
The article says it was developed in the 1960s. It's considered a last resort for individuals with severe corneal blindness.
That's cool, man. Science is cool.
The fact that they can remove your tooth and now you're seeing through your tooth, that's cool. Insane. It's amazing is what it is, yeah.
I'm also convinced if we have that sort of technology and we know that can work, there are solutions for other problems that are just not being shared.
Oh, you're saying that they have them, but they're keeping them
secret?
Yes. Like the old, like people were saying they found a tire that never goes flat, but they won't let you have it because of the big tire. Apparently.
Gold, didn't you get laser eye? I got LASIK, yeah.
Put a tooth in your eye.
Dury Vision has been, it's been probably like 4 years. So now it's just like.
You don't even remember what it's like to not see.
Yeah, I really don't.
You said he had 50 as in 50 procedures.
50 procedures prior to this one. where now they took his tooth. I don't know which tooth.
That guy really wanted to see.
Well, yeah, you think?
Evidently.
I mean, I would do everything possible as well.
Little baseball news, yeah, just okay. Quick.
All right, that's the trash of the day. Moving on.
Bubba Chandler, pitching number one pitching prospect in all of Major League Baseball, has been called up, according to reports.
There you go. Okay.
Do you have any of his cards?
I have a base card. Not going to be worth much, but I do have a card of his. Not auto. Connor
Thanks
Griffin.
Thanks for the Jermaine Burton Connor, card today, Gold. I really appreciate
you're welcome.
That.
Yeah,
I was really looking forward
you
to that.
You actually were high on Jermaine Burton, so that should be held true.
He can bounce back.
Yeah, I had a couple NFL confident. Cards I was going through, and I don't want any Cincinnati cards. And so, and they're not worth
as
any
As long
money.
As they're not worth anything, I understand.
Yeah, I didn't. Spoiler, I did not give Drew any cards that were worth $1,000. I did not. The one Joe Burrow might be worth $5, but you're a Bengals fan, so I gave you a couple Joe Burrow cards, Joe Burton, and a Jamar Chase.
Did you get your money yet?
I did today. Today.
Hey.
Today, the day you go to Vegas? That
Let's
seems
go.
Horribly dangerous.
It just came through.
That timing sounds dangerous.
The ACH just came through.
After about a week, have you thought anymore? I know we got to go to a break.
Bank cat looks nice right now.
Have you thought any more of what Cody and I suggested?
I am not blowing it on cooking lessons, if that's what you're asking.
Are you gonna use a segment of it for a wager? Are you just going to put $500 down on on black or something?
No, definitely not on the roulette wheel.
Okay.
No. If I were to ever do that, it would be on something that I feel like there's a little more
control. It'd be a sports bet.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it on literally a dice. I'm not going to do it on a literal dice roll.
You'd be over here shaking come on now.
Or
please.
One of the roulette balls bouncing around the table.
All 9K on red.
Pops
Let's
out
go.
Of. It could be 17 black and it pops out of there. Instead, it lands on 00 or something. Anyway.
That would stink.
It would. Never had that happen before. Up next, we will get to the Chiefs red half hour, talking about the left side of the line a little bit more. And could that lead to some of the big plays again? That's coming up here on 96.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
6-5 The Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Someone's a little confused with our bet we made with Drew. Someone says, I'm behind on the show, but if both teams or neither team make the playoffs, then all of three of you have to wear the Hooters outfit? No, the bet is if the
Chiefs are not involved in this at all.
If the Bengals make the playoffs, Cody and I have to wear the Hooters outfit that we found with the short shorts and the tank top. If the Bengals miss the playoffs, Drew has to wear it. It's that simple.
Yeah.
That simple of a bet.
Nervous.
Yeah, well, it's like we got months and months.
You nervous already?
Go. Yeah, don't be nervous.
Well, I don't want to wear the outfit.
Yeah, but you got months. It's not happening next week.
The only reason I was willing to make it is that I had already proclaimed I did not believe they were a playoff
team.
Yeah,
and I think it is a true coin flip, and the odds would tell us it's pretty close to a coin flip. It is a very, it's like a 55% chance they make it based on the odds. It is almost a coin flip that the Bengals are a playoff team. Would I bet $1,000 that they're going to miss? No. But at the same time, this is a show bet that is much better than the other idea of a show bet, which involved KU and MU and just Carrington.
I like that one because it didn't involve me
you.
At all.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I like that one.
I bet Drew loved that one as well.
I think it's equally as good, and it did not involve me, which
someone
I very
says,
much
doesn't Drew normally wear that when he works out anyway?
The shorts are a similar length.
The shorts were pretty close. The shorts were pretty close. If Drew had orange version of the shorts he had in that photo, they would be the same shorts.
I know.
I
know we'll talk about wide receivers here in just a minute. What Dana Hughes said on this show yesterday about that group. But just simply put, in order to get what we all want back, the deep passing game, is it literally just down to Simmons? Do the wide receivers have nothing to do with this? And it's just as down to if Simmons can pass block, the Chiefs can throw the ball deep again. They were the worst deep passing team in the NFL last year, which is crazy for an Andy Reid-led offense who's quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes. It honestly defies logic. How the hell could you be the worst deep passing team in the NFL last year? That makes no sense considering the quarterback and coach that you possess. Is it just left tackle? Simmons is good. Deep passes are back. Or is it like some combination, which we'll talk more about the wide receivers individually here in a minute, is it some combination of those guys? Because I'm starting to lean towards, if offensive line play is okay, they'll throw the ball deep. I feel like they want to throw the ball deep.
I don't think it's that simple only because Xavier Worthy struggled with spatial awareness or, you know, however you want to describe it in terms of not knowing where the sideline was. And so if that is corrected, then yes. Like, so I think it's two parts. It's, do we believe Xavier Worthy is a better deep threat now? I know in the Super Bowl, I understand he caught multiple passes and had a nice stat line in an otherwise very depressing Super Bowl for the team. If he has figured that out, and we asked Xavier Worthy at camp about that very thing, he obviously thinks they've corrected that. So yeah, it's time. Number one, got to have time and trust in your left tackle, Josh Simmons, but also is Worthy or whoever else, Tyquan Thornton, whoever else, Hollywood Brown, down the field routes. Are those guys on the same page with Mahomes? Are they aware where they're at on the field? That also, it's not just Simmons, but it's a huge chunk.
I mean, but it's gotta be at least that, right? They have been at least a league average deep passing team when they had competent left tackle play, or the best deep passing team in the NFL. I don't think Mahomes just lost the ability to throw a deep ball. Now, last year would kind of indicate that maybe, I think he maybe got a little trigger shy or rushed in his process is probably what I would actually say in throwing some of the deep passes. So he was a little less accurate for portions of last year, but I do think it might just be left tackle play. If they can block him long enough to throw the ball deep, he will. Like, I think it might just simply come down. I don't think the personnel matters nearly as much. I've watched him throw deep passes to Justin Watson, MVS, all kinds of different guys over the years successfully. And last year they had the fastest man in the NFL in Xavier Worthy, or one of the fastest men in the NFL in Xavier Worthy. Later in the season had Hollywood Brown, who's supposed to be a deep threat, and other available deep passing options. I just don't think they could wait longer.
Yeah, a huge chunk of it's the O-line, but also some of it was, and Worthy admitted it, like he was stepping out of bounds. He was too close to the sideline. Him and Mahomes were not on the same page, and some of it was on Mahomes. I think a ton of it was on Worthy. So that's a huge chunk of it. Yes, the offensive line, but it's It's the awareness down the field. Do they actually have Rashee Rice available much of the season so that the underneath stuff is effective and you actually cause the defense to come up a little bit? And that way it opens up the deep ball. You have to prove that you're able to have some big opportunities even underneath, yards after the catch. And the really only yards after the catch guy in the middle of the field is Rashee Rice at this point. Like Juju Smith-Schuster, he's going to catch it. There's not much yards after the catch. Travis Kelce, we'll see. I don't think there's a ton of yards after the catch anymore, but maybe
he's been historically very good at that.
Maybe the slimming down and he's in shape and all that. You know, I Xavier Worthy, yes, he can get yards after the catch, but we're talking deep threat for him. If he's going to have stuff underneath, a lot of that's going to be more designed, like the touchdown he had against the Ravens.
Do you think they'll be good? Do you think they'll be good at the deep passing game this year, the Chiefs?
I don't think they'll be average. I don't think they'll be the best team in football down the field. I think they will
you
be
don't
in
think
the top
the worst?
I think they'll be in the top half of the league in terms of if we're going how are we judging that? Are we going plays over 20 yards, 25 plus? Yeah, mm-hmm. They'll be in the top half of the league.
Yep. Yeah, I think they totally should be. Because to me, it's not just Mahomes throwing the ball 40 yards down the field and them completing the ball. It looks like he's able to throw it all over the yard, where the last 2 years,
it looked hard.
It doesn't look like he's been able to do that, where if they have the full complement of wide receivers, it should feel like he can throw it anywhere and there's going to be guys who are going to get 25 or whatever yardage you guys are saying plus mm-hmm. plays. It's not just the 60-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy that we saw in the Super Bowl.
They weren't dead last. They had 42 20-plus yard plays last year. The only teams worse than them are the teams you'd think. Giants, Patriots, Dolphins, Browns, Bears.
Yeah, they got to get out of there. They have no business in that group. Yeah. They have no business in that group whatsoever. So they'll be in the top half. I think they'll be in that 12 to 15 range, hopefully at least. And I think that's very realistic.
This is why I think it is Simmons. When I tell you the teams, I want you to remember how good of left tackle play these teams, remember in your head, do these teams get really good left tackle play and really good offensive line play? And then you'll realize why I think it might just be down to Simmons. 49ers led the NFL last year. They have traditionally had excellent left tackle play. Now, they had to do it with Jalen Moore a little bit last year.
They led the league in big plays. They also missed the playoffs, though.
They had 66 plays of 20-plus yards last year. But they also had Trent Williams for more than half the season. Vikings, who traditionally had one of the better offensive lines.
Jefferson, Sam Darnold played pretty good. Kevin O'Connell's great.
Lions, who had one of the better offensive lines in football last year, maybe the best offensive line in football. And then Bucks, Ravens, Bills are also on the list. Now, here's the problem I have, is that the teams who just have good offensive lines, Broncos, Steelers, like really good offensive lines, they're on this list even though I didn't like their players. I didn't like their quarterback, or I didn't like the position players they were throwing to.
Remember, Russell Wilson was just throwing up the moon balls to George Pickens.
Write that right up there with number of jersey, number of what days
that was
away.
On the broadcast, there was a Monday night game or Sunday night game where they wouldn't shut up about the moon balls.
And in fairness, the same thing with Denver is Cortland Sutton. Just throw the ball up to Cortland Sutton and let him go do his thing.
But you can do that if the Broncos had, I think, the best offensive line in the AFC last year.
Yeah.
You can throw the ball down the field, up in the air to nobody or to Cortland Sutton. If you can physically block long enough for them to get there, the other teams, I mean, they were below the Jets last year. They were below the Raiders. Surprisingly enough, Cincinnati was only like league average last year, which is actually kind of weird. Considering how good their offense was, they were just maybe too efficient.
In terms of what, the
20-plus yard plays?
20-plus yard?
Yeah. I'm just looking at the teams the Chiefs are below. They have no business being below the Cardinals, Titans, Texans, Saints. Come on. Like, to be league average, they only needed 10 more 20-plus yard plays. That doesn't feel like it's asking much.
No.
10 to 15 they'll be in the additional. Top half.
I'm talking about bets, I would make that bet if that was a thing. Like, if somebody disagreed.
Weird bet. That's a weirdly specific bet.
If somebody if you disagreed with me, I would make that bet that they would be top half. I think you wouldn't take that bet. Like, we both probably think they're going to be top
Simmons
half.
Simmons is really good.
Yeah. Well, again, and it's not just him, though. It's having good left tackle play.
Having healthy wide receivers.
It's having, you know, the awareness, as I said, with Worthy and others down the field. The tracking of the football through the air, which is something they haven't had really well since Tyreek Hill.
I will say, wide receivers, though, it's unknown more than we want to admit, isn't it? We've only seen Hollywood Brown in the offense for like 5 games coming off an injury where he wasn't 100% healthy. We've only seen the super version of Rashee Rice for 3.5 games. Mm-hmm. We've only seen the super version of Xavier Worthy after he got past the rookie stuff for like seven games and none of them on the field at the same time together. And so, like, I wish I kind of knew exactly what they had in the wide receiver game as a compliment, as in how they work together. I don't have any idea. And hell, they might still miss Rashee Rice for eight games this year. I don't know.
It's very possible. Very, very possible.
I'm so tired of talking that suspension. I want them to just levy it. Make a decision.
I don't.
Tell me we're not going to find out till October. I'm not saying we're close. I just.
Yeah, there's a. Pelissero said there's like a small chance that they settle before the hearing, but based off of the discrepancy and what each side wants, I don't know.
2 to 10. What are you settling on?
Settlement's going to happen before they get an arbiter or whatever.
Cody, who did you say the top teams were? If you still have that list up, I'm
49ers.
I closed it. I'm sorry.
Vikings,
49ers, Lions, Bucks, Lions.
Were the Ravens teams and Bills on there?
Yes.
The Ravens and Bills were both
so
in the top 10.
This is the thing, though, that I think is interesting.
Oh, here we go. We're about to get into a quarterback conversation. Go ahead.
No, the reason I think the Bills and the Ravens and the 49ers are in that conversation is if you look at the running backs, like Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are probably very responsible for some of that. Josh Allen and his running ability, James Cook, very responsible for that as well. Where if you look at teams that like the
Chiefs, you weren't just pulling up air yards. These were in total offense.
These are just 20 plus yard plays.
Yeah. Oh, we need to look up. No, yeah. We need.
Oh, you want passing plays?
Yeah, sorry.
I just view dynamic offense as
sorry, that changes the whole conversation about the teams we were just talking about. Yeah, no.
Because I think the Bengals would be higher in that category.
Big plays down the field because of Simmons. I would not count that as big running plays.
I think it's both. Yes.
The whole issue we all thought down the field. No, we got to find the numbers down the field
for the amount or lack thereof. I thought we were doing that. Runs the football. It feels like the Chiefs would be higher on
that. That explains the Niners
list
more because that explains
the Niners and the Ravens. Even the Ravens more like
I'm glad you said. I thought.
Oh
Cody,
no, I apologize. I thought that was both.
Does it have?
No, that was passing.
It is air.
What I gave you
that was
air.
Passing. Oh, okay, so then that's good
so
because
fine.
Passing, Matt.
I pull up. Rushing,
I don't.
Passing.
For the sake of this convo, I don't really care how many 20 plus yard plays they had on the ground.
Specifically passing.
Yeah, the air is what matters. That's
rushing,
the issue.
The Chiefs were probably dead last.
Yeah, probably.
Are you kidding? 20 plus yard run plays? Did the Chiefs have one? They had seven, actually, to be exact.
How many of them were Patrick Mahomes?
They were six. But this is big plays are big plays. No offense. The same teams are at the bottom of this list.
But that's not the convo we've been having and are
the
having.
The Ravens were first in the NFL in 20-plus yard passing plays. Still, surprisingly enough, Cincinnati only had nine. They only had two more than Kansas City. The top teams in the league in just rush. This is rushing. Oh, no, that's not surprising for Cincinnati. The top rushing were Ravens had 29 plus yard plays of 20 or more rushing.
Yeah, like text line,
Eagles, Commanders, Colts,
run
Cardinals.
Game is the reason why teams are able to throw the deep ball. I understand that, but the entire narrative.
What I gave you was pass.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm just referencing the text. Some says run game is 100% the reason why teams are able to throw the deep ball. The runs can set up the pass. I understand that. But the narrative towards the end of last season, post-Super Bowl, around the draft, frankly, all offseason has been, they have to have the deep ball back. Mm-hmm. And it has not been with that. Nobody is suggesting, because frankly, they're also not going to do this. Oh, just run the ball another 20 times a game and it'll come. No, it's, can you protect the quarterback? And do you have the ability down the field to link up? It is not, the issue was
and I
pass
gave up
plays
on explosiveness in the running game when they
nobody
gave
was,
up on running back
no,
in the draft.
Nobody was watching last year. You know, in saying the biggest issues with the offense was that Isaiah Pacheco wasn't running at 30 plus yards down the field. The biggest issue was Worthy wasn't catching deep passes. Hollywood Brown wasn't available. Rice, obviously, down the field. Like, yes, I want big run plays. Isaiah Pacheco is not a home run threat. I'll give you that. Nobody in that backfield, I think, is really a home run threat at this point in time in their career. Kareem Hunt, certainly not either. I'm just saying the way we've discussed the offense, it was always about the big plays down the field, as in through the air.
Or throwing the ball 10 yards and somebody's capable of going another 10 yards.
I mean, that's fine.
Well, and Cody, I think, you brought up, I think it's interesting that in terms of big plays, the
passing plays,
the Bengals were only two better than the Chiefs, but it looked easy for the Bengals. Where now,
they're also second in the league in 40 plus yard passing touchdowns. That's why it looked easy.
I don't care what the Bengals were. I mean, whatever.
No. Yeah. It's not even a conversation about them. It's that with the full complement of wide receivers for the Chiefs, it doesn't even matter about the big plays to me. It's, does it look easy for the offense again? Where the last 2 years, it has not looked easy. It has looked very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Hence, again, more compliment to Patrick Mahomes and the ability for him to even do what he was able to do. Now, if they even get the mediocre left tackle play, even if it's mediocre, with the full complement of wide receivers, it should look easier for the offense to do things and for Patrick Mahomes to not have to make Superman-like plays to just move the ball down the field with more ease. It should look easier
and
be more fun to watch.
Without even looking up the numbers, you'll know if the Chiefs' deep passing game is back. You won't have to know how many 20-plus yard plays for that point.
But let's say say Rice is available the first 2 weeks of the season, and he's back to what he was at the beginning of last season.
That's a grade on a curve.
Underneath routes are back. If Travis Kelce is anywhere closer to what he was 3 years ago than last year, suddenly there's the middle of the field is being utilized by him. That's where you get the over the top stuff more to me than like what is not going to happen. The Chiefs are not suddenly going to become a great running football team, and that's what's going to set up the deep passes. Yes, it helps. I don't disagree. Isaiah Pacheco is not going to run so well all year that's going to be what causes the deep passing game to be unlocked. I think it's more going to be about Simmons. It's going to be underneath routes that are going to be 10 or less, or 15 or less, I should say. And it's going to be whether or not Xavier Worthy in particular has awareness on the field that he's not near the sideline. And if he is near the sideline, obviously recognize that and
don't go out to go with it, you know? I would guess, without even looking, how much would I bet that Rashee Rice had, like, of the very few 20-plus yard plays, how much would I bet Rashee Rice was, like, 3 or 4?
Well, he might have.
Before he got
middle of the field, a yard after the catch.
He definitely was.
He very well. Like, I can't remember the exact status now, but, I mean, he had 110 and 103 yards in two of his first three games, so...
Mm-hmm.
There was one deep ball he had against the Bengals in that game. I think he caught a touchdown like 50 yards. That was one of the only deep balls that we saw all season that worked.
He averaged 14 yards a catch before he got hurt. So I got to assume that at least some of them were for 20.
And even at that point, Gold, like what you guys were talking about the underneath stuff, Rashee is a crucial part of where he's the possession guy. If you got to worry about Rashee all of a sudden, you're going to have to come down more and not just play too deep and just be like, well, we got Xavier Worthy covered. It's totally fine because the Chiefs can't trust anybody underneath without Rashee Rice. They got Kelce, but as long as we can, like if he gets 10 catches for 45 yards, that's fine for us. He can help unlock the offense even more where having the full complement, Rashee helps Xavier. Xavier can help out Rashee and Hollywood underneath and Travis. Like it all fits together where that's why people get so excited about talking about this room and the potential for it is they all complement each other very, very well. It seems like on paper.
The dynamic level in the run game will still be a question because they didn't do anything to you and I were rooting for the home run hitter.
Yeah. We want to spend one of their first three or four round picks. Yeah.
They didn't go for that.
I do think as we discussed earlier with Pacheco, the fact that he's now fully recovered, this is his first full training camp he's had since his rookie year. I actually do think that matters. He looks like he's got a little bit of burst back. And I think Pacheco can have for him, what is one of his better years, which is 950 plus yards on the ground. That's something he did do 2 years ago. He's not 29. He's 26. You know, I think there is still the ability. What could be his final year in Kansas City, too. Let's be honest about it. This could be the final year, even if it's a great year for him. Just the way Chiefs might
and the NFL
operate.
Works. Yeah. I mean, if he has a great year, I think they'll find a way to pay him. You don't have to pay running backs that much to go for it. But I think that somewhere outside of that.
All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, is going to join us. We'll get back into the Royals, not only with him, but also a few other conversations as we're expecting Jay Binkley to stop by a little early today as we head off to Vegas. That's coming up.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademark used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.